Would you open in your Bibles, and I hope at the end of this series you will have committed to memory these verses, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and we're doing something a little different during this series. We're going to actually recite them together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for the privilege of being in your house. We can freely gather together to worship you, unlike so many places in this world where your church is banned, as well as the Bible. Lord, we know the Bible is banned in 25% of the countries of the world because it's a book of power. It speaks of your love. It speaks of the fruits of the Spirit. It destroys the empires and kingdoms of men. And we thank you for that, Lord. And so, Lord, as we enter into this time of preaching and teaching, Lord, we pray that you would grant us the joy of you, the joy of the Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name, saying, amen. So continuing in this fall series in the fruits of the Spirit, you may remember last week we started with love. That's the first fruit, of course. And remember that in the Bible, love is understood. Agape love is unconditional love. That's so important. It's the unconditional love of God giving his only son, Jesus Christ, in our behalf. And again, remember when the Bible talks about love, it rarely talks about feelings. Our society says, you know, love is what you feel in any given moment or whatever. No, not really. Love is really desiring the good of another human being without any kickbacks in return. You want to test the purity of the love of someone? Are they working for your good without anything in return? You know, that's so beautiful because, right, Jesus said in Acts 20:35, it's more blessed to what? Give than receive. And when you start to understand that spiritual principle and live that out in your life, ooh, game changer, right? Remember, biblical love is a command. It's not a suggestion if you feel like it. No, it's a command. Jesus says in the great commandment, Matthew 22, you will love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And here's the tricky part. You will love your neighbor as yourself. You know that neighbor? I didn't say you have to like your neighbor, but you gotta love them, Jesus reminds us, right? So this morning we come to the second fruit, which is joy. How can we have more joy and gladness in our life, right? That's a good question. Are you living with joy? How much joy do you have in your life? Most of us could use a little more, you know, and hopefully it's a little deeper than a basket full of puppies, though. Well, we'll take that once in a while. That's pretty cool. But then the puppies grow up and, you know, and anyway. Okay, so what does the Bible say about this elusive thing called joy? Well, the Bible talks a lot about joy. In fact, the word occurs over 250 times in the Bible, and the related word gladness, 175. So definitions, I think they're helpful, right? Old Testament Hebrew, the word joy, sasan, is associated with obedience to God. Obedience to God's law. And the related idea is God's enthusiasm in blessing the obedient. There is joy when you obey God, when you do it God's way. Sometimes when I hear just general craziness in the world, I just stop and I'll sometimes say, can't we just do it God's way? I mean, we work really hard. I mean, when I had university students, it's like, I'd say, you know, if the students at the end of the semester or the end of the quarter spent half the time working on the material as they did concocting excuses for why they couldn't finish the course, man, these would be straight A students. They work so hard at concocting excuses. Just do it God's way. It's just easier. It's actually joyful, I would say. Now, in New Testament Greek, joy, kara, means a state of calm delight. You know, sometimes we think joy is like, woo! I mean, it could be. But real joy, biblical joy, it's a calm delight, like, ah. You know, looking at the mountains. We went on a hike yesterday. Oh, calm delight. It was good, right? Biblical joy, state of calm delight when God enthusiastically blesses those who are obedient to him and his word. That seems joyful to me, right? I think Christian joy is more practical than we give it credit for. But if we've learned anything over especially recent years, people look for joy in any number of things other than the Lord, kind of like last week's video, you know, looking for love in where? All the wrong places. Boy, we work hard at that, don't we? It's crazy. Kind of like the time when a woman walked up to a little old man who was in a rocking chair on his porch, and she said, "Sir, I couldn't help but noticing how joyful you appear. Would you please tell me the secret for a long and happy, joyful life?" And he said, "Sure." He said, "I smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day." He said, "I drink a case of whiskey a week. I eat all the bacon I want, and I never exercise, ever." "That's amazing," said the woman. "How old are you, sir?" And to which he replied, "Oh, I'm 25. It will age you badly, right? You can do it your way, which is the Frank Sinatra way. I did it my way. Yeah, boring. Boring. Or you can do it God's way, which will bring you joy. Where do we find joy in a world that appears so joyless so often, so sad and broken? The world seems committed to stealing your joy. Have you noticed this? Right? I was thinking this week, and it was actually this time last year, we actually did a sermon series on joy. The pillars of joy and some of those foundational Christian practices that will and without question bring more joy into your life. And that's a good thing. And if you're more joyful, guess what? Your joy touches other people. You know, everybody has a gravitational pull, right? How do you feel when someone walks in the room? I won't name names, right? Do you feel joyful and happy, or are you like, ugh, you know? What kind of person you want to be? More joy in your life? You will share that with others. Just, it will happen that way. But anyway, last fall we did this series on the pillars of joy. There are specific foundational things in our lives that we can cultivate that will bring more joy into our lives. And if you want to hear those messages again, they're on the church website, mosaicchurchmt.com. You can listen to the audio files if that would be helpful. It's all there. Anyway, today let's touch on some of those pillars in sort of a review sort of way to help us remember that these things build the fruit of the Spirit called joy. And these things include humility, humor, forgiveness, gratitude, compassion, and generosity. These things will build joy in your life. I've sat down with Dwight, Reverend Dwight Peterson. I asked him, I said, "How did you survive 53 years of ministry?" At the time, he'd retired. He was in ministry longer than I'd been alive, so I thought, I better ask the experts, you know? And you know, do you remember what you said, Dwight?
Joy.
The joy of the Lord. I was like, oh, that's a secret. How much joy do I have in my life? Well, let's talk about some of the pillars of joy. The first one is having a humble perspective in life, right? Remember, the word humility comes from the Latin word humus, which means what? Earth, ground, dirt. I didn't say to be humble, you need to think you're dirt. No, no, no. Remember from where you came, right? Genesis 1, and that, you know, Adam means what? Ground, earth. From the ground you came to the ground you will come, you will go. So shouldn't that help us in humility? Pride is the worst and deadliest of the sins. It's Satan's primary sin. If we've got just, I don't know, 70, 80, 90 years, what do you got to be proud of, honestly? What are you basing that on? A humble perspective. Humble people are grounded people, right? They know their real identity is in Jesus Christ, not themselves. Or in other words, humble people have a God perspective of life, right? It's not about themselves, self-perspective. That's why discipline of children is important. Can I get an amen? Right? Age 2. Yeah, get 2. What are the 2 terrible twos? What are the first two words they do? It's universal across the face of the earth. No and mine. Really? You're 2 years old and you're already got this perspective. Oh, children are so innocent. Really? Really? Is that biblical? Sometimes they give me downright demonic. You're fun. Can we get back to the puppy video? Sure. Right. Could there be any greater humility than the second person of the triune Godhead, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born in human flesh, later to be sacrificed for our sins, to restore a right relationship with a holy God? You know, the humility of God is found in Philippians 2. It was an early church song, worship song, right? In your relationships, Paul says, have the same mind as Jesus Christ, who being in the same nature of God did not consider equality with the Father something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the nature, the English translation is servant, the Greek says taking the nature of a slave. I know we don't like that word in our culture for good reasons, but Jesus became a slave for your sake. Have you thought about that lately? Being made in human likeness. Without a humble perspective, you will never ever be able to experience the depths of joy in your life. You ever notice how proud people are sort of not very interesting? They're just not. You need humility in your life for joy, kind of like the time. Bad theology, but here we go. A German shepherd, a Labrador retriever, and a black cat all died. They found themselves before the Lord at the entrance of the kingdom of heaven, and God decided to give them all a little quiz, see what they actually believed. God started with the German shepherd, and he said to the German shepherd, what do you believe? And the German shepherd, I believe in discipline, right? Hence German. I believe in discipline, training, loyalty to my owner, just as I did to you, Lord. Very good, said the Lord. Take one of the seats on my right side. Now you, Labrador Retriever, what did you believe in? A lab said, I believe in loving care of my owner and bringing them joy, just as I did you, Lord. And the Lord said, that's very good. Take one of the seats on my left. And then God looked suspiciously at the black cat. Now, cat, you must be completely honest with me. What do you believe in? That little infernal beast just stood there aloof, distance, and actually dared to look at the Almighty up and down. And then it tilted its little head and looked at God and said, I believe you're in my chair. That's why cats can't go to heaven. Amen. Yeah, I can't do this church. But then again, what? My kids once told me they wanted a cat for Christmas, and I reminded them that I normally bake a ham, but if that's what they wanted, they would have it. They didn't find that very funny. Which goes to the second pillar of joy, which is humor, right? If you don't like humor, you're not going to like Mosaic Church, right? There's a lot of humorless fellowships out there, I've noticed. Not very joyful. While humility comes from the Latin word humus, ground, earth, Latin word for humor, actually, did you know humor in Latin means moisture or fluid? I found this really interesting, right? Do you know what happens every year during Christmas when people forget to water their Christmas trees? They dry out, and it's not a good thing. Incredible fire hazard. Looked on the national website, National Fire Protection Association says that 200 homes every year in the U.S. get torched every Christmas by dried out Christmas trees. I shouldn't laugh. They're too close to candles or to the fireplace or faulty wiring. 200 homes get burned up every year because there's no fluid or moisture in them. By its very definition, I found this helpful, to be humorless is to be dried out. Dried out, ultimately dead. I'll be honest with you, I do not trust humorless people. No apologies. You don't have to be a humorist and be a good joke teller or something like that. But you ever get around some of the frozen chosen saints and they just never crack a smile? as if that were spiritual. I think it's awful, right? People who take themselves too seriously. Back to the humility perspective and pillar, I think. Humor should be cultivated in your life to one degree or another. It's so helpful, right? I mean, you can laugh or cry, but haven't we done enough crying in this life? Come on, let's have some humor, right? I once told a pastor, he did not like this. I said, you know what? Sin is ridiculous. It's a joke. It's just not very interesting. It's rather boring. And he's like, oh no, sin is very serious. I know, I get it. But you know, people doing the same dumb stuff over and over like a broken record. I'm dating myself now. You know, what's that? Well, digital downstream, I don't care. You know, it's like, it's just the same junk over and over. Cultivate humor. Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, Luke 6:21. Blessed are those who weep now, for Luke says, for they will laugh. Laugh. Some people think Jesus never laughed. I don't know what Jesus you're worshiping. I think Jesus was hysterical. Third pillar of joy, forgiveness. According to the Bible, forgiveness is Christianity 101. Right? Why don't we talk more about this? You ever notice in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, there is only one conditional clause in the whole prayer. It always struck me this. Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy, forgive us our debts, our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive those who trespass sin against us. Is that not clear? Jesus said, Matthew 6, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, I want to be really careful with this one, because many of you have been hurt deeply in your life, right? But forgiveness is a pillar of joy, and it's a pathway of freedom. But keep in mind, forgiveness is not reconciliation, it isn't trust. I've forgiven people I couldn't throw across the street without apology. But I'm not going to let them have power in my life. You know, I'm not going to be the guy 3 a.m. watching the ceiling fan. I hate that guy. You know, it's like, and they're sleeping just fine. What injustice. Forgive them. Let them go in Jesus' name, right? But let me make this clear. When you have been deeply hurt or wounded by another person, forgiveness never says these things. Forgiveness never says it wasn't a big deal. It was a big deal. Forgiveness never says it didn't really hurt. It really hurt. Forgiveness doesn't say, oh, that didn't really matter. It did matter. And forgiveness never does, you know, we like to shoot the victims, don't we? Forgiveness never says somehow I deserved it. You don't deserve that. No. Right? The fact of the matter is most of our deepest sorrows, as we've said before, on the human level are relational, right? The sorrow, I can almost guarantee any sorrow you're carrying in your heart right now about friends, family, whatever, it's relational, isn't it? Forgiveness helps us clear that junk out, you know, because bitterness and resentment, those are cancers, those are ulcers in your life. Can we be clear? Forgiveness doesn't say, I trust you. It's like, either people, I don't trust you, I got no good reason to trust you, but I'm letting it go, amen? Big, big difference, I think. Very important. What if this fall was a season of forgiveness for you? What if this was a season for you making amends where you can make amends, right? Reconciling with family members. What a beautiful thing. I pardon you, I release you, I forgive you in the powerful name of Jesus. And you know what? You have no more power in my life. Amen. How about that? That's freedom. That'll bring you joy. Fourth pillar of joy, gratitude. Word gratitude comes from the Latin word gratus. It means thankful. It means pleasing and agreeable. Have you ever noticed grateful people are pleasing and agreeable? It's just pleasant to be around them. Ungrateful people, aren't they a burden? Just like, boy, I just feel your energy and it's making me sick. Yuck, right? Thankful people have no problem expressing their appreciation for the kindness of others. Isn't it nice? Hey, thank you so much. Don't we teach children to say please and thank you? Darn Skippy, we should. You know, just, we don't need more entitled people and children in this society, right? gosh, don't get me going on that. Then I'll get negative. You know, I want to be grateful. You know, kindness and graciousness of God, we celebrate that. And the grace that you and I have received through Jesus Christ, what a gift, right? The Latin word is gratia, grazia. We celebrate God's grace, and our gratitude to him, right? I found this interesting. You remember, it's the famous story of the Magi in Matthew 2, right? The wise men. The Greek actually says this: when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Actually, it's actually better in the Greek. It's they rejoiced a great rejoicing. It's a little redundant in English, but I thought that's really helpful. They rejoiced a great rejoicing. Wow, that's cool. Kind of like the time when a child psychologist, had twin boys. Pray for those kids. Man, I love counselors, love psychologists, but I've never met a psychiatrist that wasn't nuts. Brilliant, but ooh. Anywho, psychologist had two twin boys. One was a grateful optimist and the other was an ungrateful pessimist. Just to see what would happen, because he could. On their birthday, the psychologist loaded the ungrateful pessimist room with lots of toys and games, while in the grateful optimist room, he dumped a big pile of horse manure. That night, the father found the ungrateful pessimist surrounded by his gifts, crying. And he said, "What's wrong?" asked the boy. "I have a ton of game manuals to read. I need batteries, and all these toys will eventually be broken. Boo-hoo." Passing by the grateful optimist room, the father found him dancing dancing for joy around the pile of horse manure. "Why are you so happy?" asked he. The grateful young optimist shouted, "There's got to be a pony in here. There's got to be a pony in here. That's really helpful in life, I think." I bet the kid eventually got his pony. The fifth pillar of joy is compassion. Compassion comes from the Latin words cum and passio. It means to suffer with another person. This is so important, to suffer together, right? Life is hard sometimes, and one of the beauties of a church family is that we get to suffer with one another, or we get to comfort one another. I love the word comfort. It's not just there. Comfort literally means, in Latin, it means with strength. When someone is suffering, you get to lend them your strength. Isn't that beautiful? Paul talks about that in his letters as well. Compassion isn't just empathy, like, oh, I can feel you, I've been through that. That could be a doorway, right? Empathy, to feel someone's emotion. It's a starting point for compassion, I think. But compassion isn't satisfied with the feelings of pain that others may have, and it's certainly not pity. Pity says, "Oh, I'm sorry, stay away from me, I might catch what you got." Empathy says, "Ooh, I know what you're feeling, I've been there." But compassion says, "Let me sit with you. Let me be with you, let me listen to you, let me pray for you," right? Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1, he said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our trouble so that we may comfort those in trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received." You know, when God gives you good things and good gifts, you don't get to sit on them. You got to give them away, right? And you know how you get more? Here's the God's economy. You give it away. Do you believe you can outgive God? Or as children's poet Shel Silverstein says, you know Shel Silverstein in the 70s? Loved this guy. The little boy and the old man, compassion. Said the little boy, "Sometimes I drop my spoon." Said the little old man, "I do that too." The little boy whispered, "I wet my pants." "I do that too," laughed the little old man. Said the little boy, "I often cry." The old man nodded, "So do I. But the worst of all," said the boy, "it seems grown-ups don't pay attention to me." And he felt the warmth of a wrinkled old hand. "I know what you mean," said the little old man. That's compassion. The sixth and final pillar of joy is generosity. And we love this idea here at Mosaic Church. That generous giving is one of the most commonly talked about ideas in the entire Word of God. Generosity, though, is not merely an idea, is it? The Bible says generosity should be a lifestyle. Again, you can't outgive God, right? Back to the wise men, I was sort of thinking about this week, Matthew 2. This struck me, and I've shared this during Christmas time at different times. You notice the incredibly expensive gifts they gave to Jesus and to Mary and Joseph? I mean, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'll touch on that in the coming Advent. And they traveled hundreds and hundreds of miles to get to Israel. Have you ever stopped to consider that after they left, remember the story where Joseph, Mary, and Jesus escapes King Herod's wholesale murder of the innocents, the little ones, and run off to Egypt as exiles? Could it be that God the Father provided all those incredibly generous gifts so that their needs would be met until they could return to their homes? I can't prove it, but boy, those would have sustained them in that time of exile. God is still providing, even in the midst of the questions and the craziness of this world. Do you want more joy in your life? I know I do. More joy in this fall season? It's really simple. The more you spend time with, the more you focus on Jesus, the more you are obedient to his word, the more of his joy you will experience. The less you focus on Jesus, the less of his joy you'll experience. The choice is yours. I mean, we had this discussion last Thursday in our life group. I encourage you to come. Mother Teresa, she's so simple and yet so profound. She said to one person who asked, and this is a joy issue as well, listen, spend 1 hour a day worshiping the Lord in the presence of Jesus and don't do anything you know to be wrong. And guess what? You'll be okay. You'll be fine. Encourage you to come and be a part of that. Maybe joy is not the slippery, elusive, tricky thing that sometimes we think. Couple takeaway points for you. Maybe this will help recover biblical joy in your life this fall season. Remember this. Number one, biblical joy is a state of calm delight. When God enthusiastically blesses those who are obedient to him and his word. Biblical joy is built on pillars. This isn't just happenstance, right? Happy, I'm happy because it's working out. You can be very unhappy and yet still be joyful. Do we know that? This is really important. Biblical joy is built on the pillars of humility, humor, forgiveness, gratitude, compassion, and generosity. Can you lean on any one of those things into it this fall season? You'll see great results, I think. And finally, third, biblical joy can only be experienced from a deep and abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's get more joy in our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the joy of this fellowship. Thank you for the joy of what you are doing in lives, even as we speak. It is so good to see. It's so good. Lord, I just pray for those hearts and those souls that are struggling right now. May they experience the comfort of your love and the comfort of their brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, may they lean into that. May there be abundant joy in our lives and in our church fellowship, and may we share that freely with others who need that joy and that comfort. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, saying, amen. Amen.